Welcome to Ancestral Medicine for Modern Times. My name is Dr. Jonathan Flores, and I'm happy to be your guide on this journey. I am a physician and shaman. For over 16 years, I have devoted my life to the shamanic healing studies with ayahuasca and San Pedro cactus. The work with patients from all over the world led me to create the SEET method, Comprehensive Emotional Therapy Method, which combines powerful native ancestral knowledge with modern life coaching techniques. Recovering your natural power, reconnecting with your instinct, breaking with all patterns that hold you back. In this new live session episode, Meg is asking for help to understand why her marriage is ending, and to overcome the fact that they are getting a divorce. Through this session, we are going to learn about the pillars that holds a creating a family. I listen to you, Meg, why you want to do this consultation.
Yeah. I'm going through a very intense time in my life. I just ended, an 8-year relationship just ended. We were married for 2 years. It's been very challenging. Because I thought that, I didn't think this was going to happen. And I'm in a place where there's a lot of firsts, you know, like I'm living on my own for the first time in a place I've never lived. My friends are all in different phases of their lives. So I'm finding myself having to rebuild and also try to make sense of the last 8 years. And it's just been very, very challenging.
Can you show me more how this happened, how you get to the separation?
We kind of started having some arguments at the end of the summer, around August. My dog of 13 years passed away about a month before that. I thought that I would really miss my dog specifically, but then it turned out that I missed a dog as part of my identity. And so I really wanted to have that connection again. And we kind of started getting into arguments about that. And I would say, you know, the challenge was that my partner was not somebody who really wanted to talk about conflicts. I was somebody who wanted to talk about conflict. And then, you know, the bigger part is when we would get into more emotionally charged conversations, everyone has their perspective, you know, she has her perspective, I have my perspective. And I think the goal is to try and hear each other's and to listen and to validate each other's experience. And my experience was just never understood or validated, which made me feel very devalued, made me feel very unseen, unimportant, small. I think that was kind of a theme in the relationship. I always felt like a child in certain conversations. Little, just very little. And so her life got very busy. She had family issues going on. She had work issues going on. So we kind of put that conversation on pause for a number of months. And a couple months later, it started up again. But at that point, it kind of came out of nowhere, her energy for the conversation. And we got into another argument. And pretty quickly thereafter, she was like, yeah, I'm going to leave you. And then she never really tried to work it out with me. I tried very hard. We went to therapy. She said she was there to just see what I would do, you know, like what Meg was going to fix, what Meg was going to work on. She didn't seem very committed. And then there was kind of these back and forth, like this roller coaster. A week would be good. The next week would be really disconnected. I felt very disconnected from somebody who I had felt incredibly connected to. And then when the holidays came around, she was just like, I don't want you to come with me. And I feel disconnected from you. And I don't want this relationship. And I don't want you. And that was a couple months ago now.
Okay. Can you share me her perspective? Also, when you were starting arguing with the to having another dog, this was the start thing, no?
Yeah. I mean, her perspective was every day was just a new reason. No, you know, and I think the thing that was hard for me was she wasn't saying no. She was saying, I want another dog. I'm open to another dog. But every day there would be something new that I hadn't heard the day before. And so to me, it started to feel like, what's the real reason? What's the real reason? Like, is the real answer no, you know? So she had a lot of perspectives, but I think what happened was when we got into like our big kind of crescendo argument about it, you know, I told her that she made me, when I spoke all my emotions and I spoke how I felt, and I was like, this is very close to my identity. It was the first time in my marriage where I felt like I had to choose between my identity as a human being, as an individual, and the relationship. And that was really hard. And I kind of was trying to express that, and I was very emotional, and she listened. And after she heard me speak, she just said, okay, I got what I wanted. And she got up and left the room, which made me feel so insignificant. So I said, you know, you make me feel like I want to kill myself. You make me feel like I am that worthless that, you know, I shouldn't be heard. So walking away from that argument, I think her perspective was like, how could I say that to her? That was the worst thing I could ever say to her. And I think she started to feel like in her opinion, that was very abusive to her. And that was very damaging.
What was abusive for her?
Me saying that comment that, like, you make me feel like I want to, you know, not exist anymore.
Mm-hmm. Like, if I kill myself, you're guilty for that.
Maybe. I mean, she never rephrased it that way. And for me, I think, yeah, I wasn't at a point where I was suicidal or anything. I just felt so small, so unimportant. And so that really got to her. And then, you know, how I said a few months later, you know, we had another kind of argument. And at that point, I had told her I, you know, wanted to, you know, this definitely feeds into what her perspective is. You know, I had told her I wanted to talk that day because I could feel that she was very distant from me. And I was like, hey, you know, later, let's talk. I'm not doing so well with our relationship right now. I want to make a plan so we can have a conversation later. And that gave her a great deal of anxiety. She couldn't handle knowing that we were to have a conversation. She, again, was very difficult to express her emotions and very scared of like more conflict or like difficult conversations. And I told her I kind of felt hurt. I felt lonely. I felt very distant from her. And she kind of turned around and was like, well, your problem is that you have this mental illness that I don't have.
And what is this mental illness? What is the diagnosis that she gave you?
She said that I was a borderline personality. Uh-huh. And that she's known this about me for years and that everybody agrees is what she said.
And what means for her a borderline? What is the definition? When she says that to you, what is she describing?
She said that I would get angry out of nowhere.
And this she was saying from the beginning of the relationship.
That's what she said. I had never heard that from her before. I've never spoken that about myself because I've never gotten that diagnosis from any professional. Okay. So I was really surprised, and I did get very upset. You know, I did get angry. And I asked her for space. I asked her to leave the bedroom and to give me space. And her perspective on that was, because I was angry and I was asking for space, that I was actually kicking her out of our bedroom. And she said the day that I kicked her out of the bedroom was the day that she knew she wanted to divorce me. And that was that. It was incredibly hurtful for me to hear that she thought that I had a mental illness, that my personality was unstable. I definitely was the more loud member in the relationship. I would yell, she would do the silent treatment. So we were kind of on opposite ends of the spectrum. But for me, it wasn't coming out of nowhere. For me, there were conversations we were having, or inabilities of having conversations, or blockages in our conversations that were getting very frustrating. And that was always what I was trying to express to her. You know, this is what's going on for me. I want you to try and understand what's going on for me so that our dynamic can shift. But for her, the responsibility of the dynamic was on me, always, 100%. And I think when she went and blamed it on a mental illness, I felt the most invalidated I had ever felt. And I could never get her to see my perspective on that day, how somebody I've known for 8 years is now telling me that for that entire time, they've viewed me this way and I had no idea. I've also known people with that particular disorder, and I've had really difficult experiences with them. It made me question reality. It made me question everything, who I am, what's going on, is it all my fault? So it got very complicated. And from that moment on, she never recovered from that. She never wanted to hear anything I felt or any perspective I had. And in therapy, as we got past a certain point, we were addressing, you know, kind of my reactions to situations. And it also came to light that she was really had a growth opportunity around expressing her emotions better and being a more active listener and being curious about how I felt. And she was struggling with that. And about a week later, after that kind of came out in therapy, she was done with the relationship.
But what came in the therapy?
In terms of nothing opened up. Like, there was no new path for us. It was more like, here are a few tools. We only went like 5 times before she was done with it. There were a few new tools that we got, like about how to kind of actively listen to each other. And we would practice that in session. She was having a very hard time with it. She was able to say what she felt. She said that she didn't trust me. She didn't want to have kids with me. And that she's been unhappy for years. You know, so to her, when she looked back at our relationship, she said that only 2 of our 8 years were good, which again was kind of shocking to me because I had been there and it was like a normal relationship, ups and downs. We had just gone on our honeymoon like 6 months before all this happened. I don't even know. And when I ask her what happened, how did we go from working on it to you walking out within a week? I still have no answers, and she won't tell me.
Well, let's go to the beginning. When a family is made from a circle. So this circle that is family, it's created by 3 things that bonds this family. First, you have the rulers of this family, so the hierarchy. So you have the marriage, no? Okay, so there is 2 bosses in the relationship, no? And you must be recognized the authority of each one in order to make it work, yeah? So you get together, you decide to get together. Then in order to get together, there is the third part, the second part, it is you have to know what makes you feel part of that circle. What makes you feel that you belong to that idea or dream of creating this family? And the third part, that is one of the most important, all the 3 parts are important, but this is very important because this is what develops the relationship. It is the balance between the giving and taking. In a relationship, you always enter in a debt. Every time your partner do something for you, you are in debt with this partner energetically for the service. So how you pay the debt? Also giving back the service. So marriage that is in balance is is all the time giving and taking, giving and taking. And this is what it keeps. So you always get into debt and you pay the debt, no? And then you keep the balance. When did the relationship start broken? First, when you lost respect of a hierarchy, when you don't listen anymore to yourself, when you lost the connection of what makes you feel, what makes you belong, feel that you belong to that circle. And the third, when you don't want to give anymore or receive anymore. No? Yeah. So do you understand me, these three things? Perfect. No.
Yep.
So now that I explained you this, with this knowledge I give you, I want you to go from the beginning of your relationship when you were just in the first stage, not marriage, before marriage. And what makes you, so how this came to be together, how you came to be in love, or how you decide, how you remember these first moments where you were dreaming, both of you, to have to create this family, to. Can you take me there, please?
Yeah. We met about 10 years ago, almost exactly 10 years ago. Kind of by accident, you know, somebody introduced us and it was very accidental and we met and I didn't really expect anything of it. And we started to hang out. And once we started to hang out more and more, I don't know, there was this energy between us. It was so strong. It was so real. It felt very familiar, even though I hadn't known her very long at all. She was unlike anybody I'd ever met. She was the first person that I met that every day my attraction and my interest in her grew more and more and more. And we spent about 6 weeks together, just like totally falling in love, spending time, going on dates, being intimate with each other. We had a very deep connection physically, but due to the circumstances, she had to leave and go back home. She was graduating school and I was staying in the area where the school was. So we had 6 weeks together and it was mind blowing and it was unbelievable. And I felt like I had met my soulmate. We had a good independence with each other. We allowed each other freedom and space. Yet we were also connected. We laughed a lot together. We had a great sense of humor. And after those 6 weeks ended, she went home and she picked up with a relationship that she had had prior to me. That was kind of back home. And that lasted about a year and a half. And I started another relationship too. And then in 2012, around this time, 2012, she kind of came back into my life and we started talking again. And within a few months of us talking, I moved out to California to go be with her. And that's when we started our real, like, committed, we are in the same place in the same time relationship. And it was similar. I mean, we were just deeply in love. I mean, like, from the beginning, we both felt like we were to be with each other forever.
Uh-huh. Okay, so, and what makes you feel that you were in love? So if we can go back we're going to research now, we're going to investigate in order to know what happened, why this ends, we need to know how this starts. Because how it starts is what gives the foundation of the relationship. So, because I will tell you something, when the foundation, so for the reason when you start a relationship and that holds you together, keeps you together for some years, when you stop working in that foundation, that was the reason why you start being together, is when entering in the separation mode, no? And this not only happened in the relationships, and this is what I'm teaching you now or sharing to you, it's not only happening in relationships, it also happen in business. For example, there is a company that has 50 years working in the market, And then suddenly, you see that in the year 55 of the birthday of the company, the stock market started going down. And when you go investigating this market, you know what happened? You know, the founder of the company dies, and the kids and the children are taking care of the company, and they are not respecting the foundation. Yeah. That's why this is important. So now tell me, let's work in concentrating the foundation. So tell me, what was the foundation of your relationship when you start? First was freedom, space, to have a space. Mm-hmm. This is one thing that you mentioned several times. What else? Yep. So to respect the space of, and what means this? Describe me a little bit more. What space do you need to be respected, and what space she needed to be respected?
We weren't possessive with each other. Jealousy was a word that never played in our relationship. Unlike other relationships that we've both been in or relationships that were around us, we were not jealous about other people flirting with each other or we were never worried about that with each other. So there was like this deep kind of sense that the connection we had was unique and stood out from any of that other noise. And we never worried too much about what that meant when other people would kind of come in and out of the picture. She was the type of person that I could be, you know, in a big social event with, and we didn't have to be attached to each other. You know, we would float and then come back together and float and come back together. And I had been in relationships in the past where that wasn't possible. And you had to be like next to the person you were with the entire time. And I think we're both very social people. And so that allowed us the space to explore social events independently, but still together. And that was really important, I think, for both of us.
But you're not answering. Let's go. You're not answering. So I'm talking about the foundation. For example, the foundation of the relationship is we are not going to never scream to us. We are not going to interrupt. When you talk, I'm listening. And when I talk, you listen. For example, our purpose is to practice this philosophy, and we are going to work and we are going towards that direction. For example, no, so it's a path. So a family is like, I will tell you, a family is like a church. It's your church, because inside what happened is you are the rulers of that world, your inner world. So in your church, what was the commitment in your church? What makes us you to create this home life, this family life, and what were your beliefs? This is very important.
I don't think we had shared beliefs. So maybe that's the problem. I don't think we had shared, you know, there were times where I tried to talk about my spiritual beliefs about, for me, one of the most important things, my path was always that I wanted to be in a partnership that allows the other to evolve, and that we are always in a state of evolution, that we are always in a state of becoming a better version of ourselves, not better, but just more deeply understood. I was, you know, I had been in therapy for years, I think, on a just deepening of self-awareness, kind of cultivating more patience, kind of seeing myself in different ways. So that was my path. My path in relationship was always that a partnership should allow you to grow and change and evolve and transform, and that it should support that change. It should at times compel that change. Mm-hmm. And that when it's compelled, you heed the call. And so for me, that's what commitment means. It's first and foremost a commitment to a journey of yourself, and to have the space and the support and the radical candor of somebody to say like, hey, you need to work on that, right? So like these three things, like it's self-driven and also it's supported, and it's also, it can be called out by the other person. I always wanted somebody to be able to call things out for me. Those were my goals.
What means calls things out? What means this?
Just somebody who knows you well enough to say, like, hey, you're a little off track here with your, you know, you're getting really impatient, and I think I know you can work on that. And I think, you know, I think sometimes we're afraid to tell people that there's something about them we might want to change, or have somebody kind of look at or examine or work at, or because it's affecting the relationship. And so I always wanted somebody who could say that lovingly and empathetically, and to also trust me that I loved and cared for them enough that I would look at and examine that, and I wouldn't take it as like a rejection of who I was, but I would reflect on it, bring it in, figure out what that means for me, and figure out how to grow from there. And I think once I would make a decision like that, I would then want my partner to be supportive and believing in that transformation. And the other types of transformations are ones that just happen independently. Like, I've gone through major career changes, and that's brought about my own internal transformations as well. And so I think it's important to have somebody that allows you to grow in that way and doesn't contain you to who you were a year ago, but they are like, okay, this is your growth path, and I support who you are today. I don't want you to be that person I met 8 years ago. I want you to be the person you are today. Because I think sometimes we can restrict each other. So those were my beliefs. Those were the important things that I held okay. dearly.
And what was her belief?
Her belief was, she believed deeply in respect. In the beginning of our relationship, she believed that any sort of conflict was a bad sign. So for her, conflict was not okay. So she wanted to, I don't know, either avoid them or have a relationship that didn't include them. But respect was very big for her. Family was very big for her. Her family's very big in general, like numbers wise. I would say for her independently, like, her professional life is very important, and having support in that realm. I don't know if that's really ever something she spoke out loud, but it's something I always knew.
And you also work in the, you are a professional. Do you study something?
I'm a professional, yeah.
Can you share me in what area? Are you a professional?
Yeah, I work in, I create like educational experiences online. I've always been involved in education. I've done it a lot of different subject areas. And right now I work on educational experiences that help people grow their creative confidence and creative leadership.
And her professional area, what was?
She's a winemaker.
Oh, nice. I love wine. What kind of wine she was doing? You know what grapes she was working?
All sorts of grapes.
Also, great. Okay, so she must have a very social life, very active social life. As a winemaker, you have a lot of meetings.
Sometimes, yeah.
Okay, so it is interesting here what you said about she avoided the conflict. You said, she don't like, for her, a conflict was a sign of what? Like of running away, or a sign of this just, is not where I want to be.
Yeah, like probably like a red flag in the relationship. Like, why do we have conflict, or why are we having, you know, tensions about things? Like, especially very early on, like, it was almost impossible for us to have any sort of conversation around a conflict. For me, I come from a background where conflict is more than okay, and it's an opportunity to get to a better place. It's an opportunity to understand each other better and move forward with that knowledge. But those conversations were very difficult for her. She wasn't one to really be very direct about addressing things. So I could tell in a moment energetically that something was wrong, you know, and I could sense that in her. And I would say, you know, what's wrong? And she'd say, nothing. And then in some number of days, as time unfolded, maybe it would come out. And it would come out. And I would be kind of upset because I had been asking multiple times, you know, what's wrong? What's wrong? And not getting any sort of response. And then when it came out, it was like, what that? Why didn't you just tell me? I think that was always the dynamic that was challenging. We got better at it at times. But overall, that kind of conflict avoidance and me being more like, let's directly talk about it, was the dance we were always in.
For her, now, so we're talking about a relationship, so when we talk about relationship, it's always 50% and 50% of responsibility. O sea, it's not that it is 90% yours or 90% hers. No, in a relationship, if there is something very good in a relationship, that everything what happens in the relationship is 50-50. It doesn't matter if you decide or not decided, or you allow to someone decide from you. O sea, it's a decision. So it's a choice. So everything what happened now in this relationship is 50-50. So you have 50% of the responsibility of this separation. Mm-hmm. And she also have this 50%. When you see it in this way, you also can balance and don't feel so guilty about what happened, and diminish the pain, because this happened because of what I can see is that she get tired about it's like you get in this, it took both of you these 8 years of marriage to get to the point to really get into the, so like to through an obstacle, yeah, and she didn't want it to go it. She didn't want to cross it. So I say, I don't want to do this. I say, like, goodbye. You can press. You can push me. You can sense everything. You can be very sensitive. You can know what I have, what is happening to me. Even I don't speak to you, but you don't understand that I don't want to work it.
She said she can't.
When someone, I would teach you a secret. When someone say to you, I can't, it's the same that I don't want.
Right, exactly.
So that's why I'm telling you, she didn't want to work this. And that's mm-hmm. it. And when someone doesn't want to work, it's like, and this is, of course, this is also a problem for her from her childhood. Yeah, so she have an issue here, but she don't want to deal with this. Yeah, and nobody, so nobody can push no one to heal a trauma, even because you love her or you care about someone too much. Hey, you must heal this trauma and you must go through this and we must go for therapy. And this, yes, exactly. This is your conflict. And here you must, you know, I did it in my beginnings. You know, my biggest mistakes in my relationship with my patients was that in the beginning, I was understanding that just knowing what is happening to the person was enough to help him to heal. And I found my greatest teaching I received from a patient that didn't know how to help her was a woman. I remember we were working very in a private space, and in a moment, after a couple of months of working, I didn't know what to do. So I bend my knees, like I told you, like this. I bend my knees and I put that in prayer position, my hands, and I say, please tell me what I'm doing wrong. I say, I don't know how to help you anymore. I'm doing everything. Please tell me what I'm doing wrong. And then she said to me, Jonathan, you are very good in what you do. Your problem is that you don't understand that not everybody wants to heal or to change.
Yeah, I think That is the fundamental. I mean, when you look at what my foundation is in a relationship, right, it's to evolve, to grow. And really that's through self-awareness. And I know this, there are things from her childhood. There was a moment in conversation that we had when everything was pretty tense where, you know, the things were getting revealed in therapy and it was getting to the point where the therapist is like, yeah, you're not really like validating Megan's experience when you listen to her emotions and stuff. And I said, you know, Noelle, that's what I've felt for a long time. And I've tried a lot of different things. I've tried to model different behaviors. I've tried to share books with you that I think were meaningful, but I couldn't force you to read them. You know, I never tried to force you to read them. I was like, I've known that this has been your struggle and I've seen this as your opportunity to grow. And at the same time, I've tried to every day accept you as you are and for who you are. We used to have this phrase every morning we would wake up and say, I promise to love you today. And that didn't mean that we promised to be loving. It meant that we promised, for me, it meant that I promised to love who you are today without expecting you to be anything different. And I kind of shared that with her, what it meant to me and all of this kind of stuff. And I said, I know this is where, you know, I have to grow on how I react to things. I can be impatient. I can get angry. And I've known that this is kind of where you need to grow. And this is where I need you to meet me more. And I know you love me. And I know you don't want to misconnect with me and disconnect with me. And I know you want to be there for me. And I believe in your capacity for growth because I've seen elements of change throughout the years. And she was very quiet. And when I asked her how she felt about that, she said that I had done a huge disservice to our marriage by knowing that she needed to grow and change, like work on this thing and asking her to marry me anyway. And so I think one of the big problems became that when you say 50-50, I believe that thoroughly in terms of responsibility and ownership. But in the majority of our conversations, the responsibility was put squarely on my shoulders. So even in that instance of trying to be empathetic and open to her traumas, it became something that I had done wrong. Which I know isn't true, but that's how it was viewed. And that's when things became very clear that she did not want to work on it because working on it would have meant being open to the fact that there were elements that she was contributing that weren't fruitful, uh-huh. and to acknowledging exactly what her role was in it. And that's what was really the most shattering to me, that after all that time, there wasn't a willingness to look at herself.
Yes, but I will share you something. Like the problem also is that your mistake here also is that your extra sensibility of knowing, of feeling, this doesn't give you permission to force someone to talk about that. And this you must learn. So you have this sensibility and it's beautiful and it's a great tool for your life and for your relationships in every area, professional and with your neighbors, with your friends. So when you feel something is going on in the other person, you feel it, okay? And you can have this information, but then you have to wait for the opening, you have to wait for the situation, you have to wait for the circumstances of life that give you the opportunity to talk about that or not. But you cannot talk about something you feel from the other. That is invading space. Energetically, you are invading this space. It's like really like being annoying with the other person. Yeah, and this you must take care of this beautiful gift that you have of feeling extra, you have an extra feeling to others. It's very important. And this also will make you your professional area.
I mean, that makes a lot of sense. At the same time, it's challenging to think about when your marriage is on the line and you're in therapy and things are coming up in therapy and you're kind of coming home to debrief what happened in that session, I'm trying to imagine how I could have expressed my need in the relationship at the same time without invading her space, like you mentioned.
Definitely that was the point, how you could everything be different now.
Oh, I don't know about that, but maybe.
Yes, but this is, but doesn't matter about what matters. You are young, and you maybe can find another person in your life. Maybe not, but if you find another person in your life, if you don't control this, it will repeat again.
Mm-hmm.
And another advice I can give you is be aware not to choose as a partner someone that avoid conflict. Because if you love to grow so much, you need to find someone or to enter in contact, not only in a relationship of partners, you know, also as a friends, people that want to grow. Because it's nothing more horrible that you are growing and growing and developing and finding people that doesn't want to grow. So that's why I became a therapist, for example, in order to help people to grow, because I love to grow, for example. My daily practice in life is learning, developing, polishing myself, growing, be the best version I can be every day in my life. And for my partner also, I choose a woman in my life. I'm a straight guy. I choose my woman. You met her as a moment ago doing the TED. She and I, we love to grow. And one of our commitments when we start is like we choose each other because we are humble enough to recognize that we need a lot, we need to learn a lot. So we are open to learn, and only when you find people that is open to learn is open to grow. And the only way you can talk or develop with someone is when they have these characteristics that they want to learn, they want to, because they are not the owners of the truth. They listen, they check it themselves, they recognize when they are doing mistakes. Yeah. So that's what happened basically. You choose a person that with all your love you felt, and with all your gift of sense, you said, I can understand you and I can help you. But you cannot help no one that doesn't really ask you for help. Because when you help someone that doesn't ask for help and you know how to help her or him, this person doesn't commit to the change. So it's like planting seeds on the sea. I like to say, they will not grow. Yeah. So you spend your energy and you get drawn and you get tired and you enter in desperation, in frustration, you get angry. Yeah. You get suffocated, you know, like what's going on? I don't know what to do. You know? So you start entering in anxiety and desperation. And then people call you are in borderline. And you say like, but you are not seeing that I'm trying to make this work. Yeah, that's why I'm entering this desperation. No? So, and it's also important to ask for help. If you ask for help in the beginning of a relationship, you will have the chance to grow, no? Or to know that this relationship was not going to work, because in order to work, you need a relationship, you need two people. You need two persons that need to work. The moment one stops working, the relationship start, so the other one start giving more, the other one, so taking. So in a moment, the one that give, the other one only takes, and doesn't gift, you create a huge debt. So when you create a huge debt, what happened? You cannot pay it later. And so the only way to the next step, what happened is that the relationship breaks because the debt cannot be paid.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and it's true, no, And it's true now that it's painful, like more than painful, it's like a void, it's like emptiness. In the it's a feeling of, well, what am I going to do with my life now? So I have been with this person these 10 years, and now suddenly she says to me, goodbye, I don't want to work this anymore, I don't want to do it with you. And then you are like, pop, so like, what am I going to do? The first thing you can do is to be grateful for all the beautiful moments. You can choose to point only in the bad emotions and in the bad memories, or you can remember the beauty of the relationship when you were laughing, when you were traveling, when you were cooking at home, when you were watching a beautiful movie or dancing, when you were making love, when you were really enjoying what we call to be alive. So this is must be your memories. And if you really said that you have a beautiful, that you love her and you have a beautiful time with her, so stick to the beautiful moments. And the bad moments is just for learning not to repeat it again. Who knows, give a space to her. Don't talk to her, don't call to her. If she wants to go and she has things in the home and she needs to pick it up or whatever, just let her, let it be, let it go. And if she must and she wants, and then later time maybe can give her another opinion, good. And if not, not. But you must continue with your life, because the partnership is not forever. So what starts can end, or normally always ends, even our life. So we are walking directly to death. So we're here, and in a moment we are not going to hear. So even in a moment, if you work hard in your relationship and you do everything, in a moment you are going to separate. Death is going to separate you. So separation is unavoidable. So we must to learn to let go and to be grateful for what we have already received and what we already experienced. So when you connect with gratefulness in your heart, and you connect with all the beautiful memories of your love for her and for you and the home and everything what you built together, then you are going to be always happy. You're going to be always in joy, and you're going to be open and ready to love, continue loving yourself and your life and everything what surrounds you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. This is what I can share with you. And recommend.
Okay, thank you.
No, thank you for sharing your story, and thank you for listening. At the end of the session, we were able to shed light on the fundamental aspects that led them to this situation. The importance of the foundation at the beginning of a relationship, it is based of what a person wants for herself or himself. What I choose for my path of my life, with which people I want to be related or be surrounded, what do I prefer or not prefer in the way of living, the way how I want to live and to share my life. So when you enter into a relationship, you must ask your questions like, what unites us? What makes us feel that we belong and make us call ourselves a family? What is this family? What is this invitation that we are making when we decide to join with another person? What are we going to create together? All these questions are very important in order to ask yourself before entering into a relationship, because what you're having in mind, but you're not being conscious about what you're having in mind, what are your desires, if you're allowing yourself being guided by your desires, you're going to attract people of your life, but they are not going to manifest what you really want if you don't ask you these questions about what I want to create, what we want to create together, no? Or this question about the invitation, why am I inviting someone into my life? Mm-hmm. Or when someone is inviting me, what is this invitation for? So what are we going to do together? very important to ask these questions. So we cannot help someone to go through a healing process, for example, if the person doesn't want it, because that is to force person, to force their freedom. So it doesn't matter the benefit that we can perceive or that we can know for sure, for a fact, that this will bring to the life of the other the lot of benefit. That doesn't matter. Good intentions are not enough. It is essential to respect the decision that the other has taken to be where he or she wants to be in her life or his life. So in order to help someone, and especially when we find in this task with our relationship, we cannot help someone who doesn't ask for help, because if we help them, we intervene in their freedom. And all this energy we invest in that help, it only will drain you and disorient you, and will create conflict, because at the end, this helping but not seeing the changes that we want to see when we help generates a disbalance in the relationship. It creates a debt that later the other person cannot pay. So it's like when you imagine yourself borrowing money to someone and say, "Oh, don't worry, I have a lot, I can give you to you." But the other person didn't ask, but you borrowed this money. But then later, in a moment when you get tired, when you don't see these changes that you want to see, then you will ask to be paid for this. You will ask for this energy. Okay, what happened with all this energy I invest? Where is this going? Why this haven't changed as I see it, as I saw it, as I wanted, as I believe it, that this was the best for us? So the only thing we can see as the best is we only can change ourselves with love, with tenderness and patience. And we can choose our companions, but we must accept them how they are. And if we choose as a companion, we must choose something that is, if we answer the questions I ask above before, you will know this and you will be satisfied, because it's what you accept. So why you complain if you accept this? You decide to enter into this reality that you create. Because we are the responsibles. We cannot point to the other and say the other one is guilty, especially in a relationship. Everything what happened, as we heard in the episode, is 50% and 50%. So the only thing you can do to someone else, and especially in a relationship, you can suggest something to your partner, but the other person will decide if they do it or not do it. And yes, even still, you give the best of you, give your best example of life, manifesting the best demonstration of goodness. You must understand that there are people who do not want to change, and they are in full right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.